He's a hippie saint. It's true. He has the long hair and he's got this red band around his head to keep the hair together. And
I'd never heard of John Bradburn before I went to Zambia. Yet, during my 12 years there, his name was mentioned repeatedly and always with a tremendous degree of respect. People seemed to take it for granted that he is a saint, even though Father Leo McCarthy, a Franciscan friar, has only just been given the responsibility of officially collecting information about God's vagabond, as Bradburn liked to describe himself. Yet, however unlikely a Saint John Bradburn might be according to his physical appearance, he might be just what Zimbabwe needs at this present moment.
The country moves on and we just hope for better days, you know. But it's going to be a journey too. I think that a man like John Bradburn, he offers people hope, because the heart of renewal of Zimbabwe will only come through love. It'll only come through care for the poor, care for the needy. It will not come through any other means except a deep spirit of forgiveness and a real care for those who are in need. And that's what John Bradburn would say to us today.
Archbishop Pius Ntlube of Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, added his own comment.
John Bradburn was a great man. And I heard, for instance, of a woman. She was a woman, tremendous faith, an African woman. Young, I think she was late 20s. The doctors had told her there was no way to help her. She had cancer, the uterus or something like that. And she realized, well, the doctors are not going to help me. And she went over and she was praying there, I think, for a whole week at John Bradburn's. And coming from there, one day, I think, after Mass, after receiving communion, she felt herself well again. She went to the doctors. She had been healed.
But who was John Bradburn?
So John Bradburn was born in England in 1921. He had two brothers and two sisters. His father was an Anglican parson. But he was always a man who we might call the pilgrim soul, searching, maybe a dreamer you might call it, but in the real sense of one searching for a meaning to life, above all for a deep spiritual meaning. So eventually he studied at the university, and then he had to go into the army. The war was on, and he was posted out to Malaya. And there he met John Dove. I mentioned him already, the Jesuit, who became a Jesuit later, became great friends. And during that time in the army in the Far East, he was known very much for his love for prayer, his love for stillness and quietness, and a wonderful devotion to, as he called her, Miriam, as our Blessed Lady. Anyway, to make a long story maybe short, he actually came back then to England after the war, and he continued this search. In fact, he wrote a lovely poem called A Strange Vagabond for God. A vagabond, a one who is searching and travelling for God. And he still yearned for this deep spiritual life. In order to pursue that then, he tried his hand at various orders and congregations. But in the meantime, he became a Catholic, and he then began to join various orders and so on. And most of them said that in letters they wrote, he's very good, but this doesn't seem to be the kind of life that would suit this young man. So eventually, as part of his journey, he went to the Holy Land, travelling on a ship and then walking and walking throughout the Holy Land and praying at the various shrines and so on. And then he later then, back in Italy, he joined the Third Order of St. Francis.
And why the Franciscans?
So in a sense, here we find the putting together of a very special charism he had, and that is his deep love for St. Francis. He was always inspired by Francis of Assisi with the love for the lepers, Francis of Assisi, the lover of nature, Francis of Assisi, the poet, because in fact John Bradbourne would write 6,000 lines of poetry during his life. He was a poet, he was a poet, he was a dreamer and a poet, he was a searcher. And he wrote to Father John Dove, his great friend, who at this time was now in what we call at that time southern Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. And he said, is there a cave in Africa? A cave. So John said, well, there are many, many caves in Africa. I just want a cave, he said. I want to grow in the life of prayer and the spirit. And I mentioned earlier his great love for Our Lady Miriam, but he had a tremendous love for the Blessed Trinity. This was very central to his spiritual life, the Trinity, the life of God. Anyway, Father John Dove, of course, went along to the Franciscans who had gone to southern Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, in 1958. And he said, brothers, there's a young man from England who would like to come out and live on the mission as a man of prayer. Have you a place for a man like that? So Father Boniface said, why not? Anyone that comes to pray with us is more than welcome. It'll certainly be a help to us. So he came out to Africa, to Zimbabwe, and he joined the Franciscan friars down in a place called Gandichibuva. Oh, it's really the bushland. Back in the bush, we might say. And there he lived in the friary. And yes, he was very prayerful there. And Father Pascal Sleven, who was now back in Ireland, retired missioner, knew him very well. He lived in the house with him. And in fact, John Bradbourne wrote a lovely poem about Father Pascal. He said, here is a true Franciscan, he said. He loved his way, his style. So he spent quite a while there at Gandichibuva. And then, still searching, he wasn't happy yet, you know. He'd got to the missions, he'd got to Africa, but he hadn't found this cave. So he said to the friars, there's a place up on the hill, he said, and it's a water tank with a little room below the water tank. What about that? Could I just live there? I said, well, as long as you come down once a week to see us, and I'll do my own cooking, he said. I want to eat the food of the people. That meant sadza, in Imoriwo, sadza and vegetables. So he spent, yes, he said, I've seen that place today. It's wonderful to visit it. So small, yet he lived there and he prayed there. He was a man of God. Later then he went to Silveira House, the Jesuit house, and he was still searching. But the great turning point came. I'm going to move on now because there's lots of little things, stories about the bees and story about his various ways of travelling around, you know, and being sent with the car to get fuel and putting diesel in instead of petrol and all that little stories, you know. Anyway, he went one day in 1969 to a place called Mutemwa. There was this lady going up to visit the lepers there. So she said to John, would you like to come with me for the drive? Which he said he would. So he went to Mutemwa. Now Mutemwa is near Mutoko, which is on the road towards Mozambique. And there he came to the leper settlement. He met the lepers. And then he said to Heather, who was had accompanied him, I am staying here, he said. I have found my place at last. All my wandering is over. I have found the place at last. It's among the lepers. So she said, well, you're coming back with me, whatever you're doing. I'm not going back and tell the Jesuits that I left you up there. So you come back with me, okay? Okay, he said, but I am coming back here. So he went back and he packed his little belongings, told the Jesuits he was heading to Mutemwa, and there he went and there he lived for 10 years.